Right now it's time for Teach Me What You Know. Today we're looking at one of the times in life when communication can matter the most, when we're talking with our doctor. It's important for patients and doctors to understand each other and form a plan of treatment, both when we're really sick and even if we're just in for a minor complaint.
Dr. Toby Campbell joins us now. He's an assistant professor of medicine and palliative care expert at the UW-Carbone Cancer Center. Dr. Campbell, thanks for coming up to the show.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So it can be a difficult thing to talk to the doctor for some of us. Some people are intimidated. Sometimes people are embarrassed. Sometimes it's just hard to articulate what's going on. So as a doctor, what is the first thing that you want people to know about how to be effective when they're talking with you, with a doctor?
It's really important to me that you understand that this is your time, that this communication that we are having is a two-way street, and that it's a partnership. I want a partner in this conversation, and I want a partner in this endeavor. So come to the visit ready to be honest, ready to be open, ready to play a part in the discussion.
On TV, sometimes the patient gives us tiny detail that solves the whole case, and it's Mongolian fungus or something like that. But should we include every little detail? How do we prioritize what we tell you, the doctor?
Well, everybody comes to the visit with a different set of needs, and to a degree, I think it's important to understand what the doctor's life might be like. They may be seeing someone with Mongolian fungus in the morning and someone with Ghanaian fungus in the afternoon and the South African fungus to wind up the day. We have no idea. The difficulty, though, is identifying which individual has which problem. So yes, there are the sort of medical mysteries, but to a larger degree, the patient-doctor relationship is about what's going on with you. So I would encourage people to prepare for the visit. So what is most important to you today? Again, this is your time. What's most important? What are the three or four most important items for you? And stick to the point. Be prepared to talk about what symptoms you have. You might want to create a list of the things that are going on that you've noticed, because in the moment it can be hard to remember or sometimes forget. And I think you should expect from your doctor the expertise necessary to put together those pieces of information you're providing to come up with the conclusion about Mongolian or Ghanaian fungus, neither of which I think exists.
I was just going to ask if that actually exists, if it should be something I should be concerned about, since you both seem to know so much about it. Well, that's a relief.
Well, it was a hypothetical.
I want to ask you, what about times when someone doesn't feel heard? I'm guessing it's usually going to be the patient, the doctor. I don't know if they may not be aware of that, but I've had conversations with people where they say, I really don't feel like my doctor is hearing me. I don't think I'm getting what I'm trying to say across. Is it a good time then to look for another doctor, or is there a way to kind of tweak that relationship?
Well, to start with, I don't think it's ever a bad idea to ask yourself the question, is this the right relationship for me? Having said that, so much time on both your part and the doctor's part goes into building that relationship at the beginning. So before abandoning the relationship, I would first encourage people to think about ways in which they might address that problem that they're seeing. So a few questions to consider. Perhaps you might say something like, I realize you're very busy, but I need to discuss this issue with you further. Do we need another appointment time, or could we discuss it more today? Another example, I'm concerned that we aren't communicating well. Here's why. As a physician, I would really respond to that, right? I mean, to me, that would be a flag that would distinguish that visit from another one that I'd had during the day. And I honestly would spend some extra time coming to grips with it. That wouldn't be okay with me.
So you'd be okay hearing that. You wouldn't take it, badly and look askance at the patient.
Absolutely not. Now, I will say that, again, if we are on the same page and we have prioritized our time, I understood, realize that doctors often have agendas. The agendas should be related to what the patient brings to the visit, but make sure it's your time. So if you know what three or four issues are pressing and the doctor has one or two that are pressing, we ought to be able to cover most of those. If these issues and these concerns are coming up at the very end of a visit that's already perhaps gone long, I might not have as much time to honestly devote to answering that question. And I might need to say, I think we will have to schedule another appointment for that. But it's really important to voice those concerns. I mean, I would want to address those. I would want to hear that.
We've been focusing on the diagnosis side so far. I know it's a concern in the medical community that patients comply. They go with the treatment plan and understand it. So as a patient, how do you make sure you come out of the office knowing you know, this medication had this often, this lifestyle change, whatever the treatment might be?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I would encourage people to be strong advocates for themselves, to potentially not come to a visit alone. As an oncologist and a palliative care doctor, essentially everyone that I see is very, very sick, very ill. And it's hard for me to remember the last person I saw by themselves. So frequently there are multiple family members there taking notes. It is a common occurrence at least several times a day for people to audio record the conversation. Completely fine. I like it when people ask me if that's okay, but I always say yes. I mean, I want you to remember what happened during this visit. And I want to be giving good advice, and it is honestly no added pressure to make sure that we're communicating effectively. So advocate for yourself, bring a note taker, take notes yourself, audio record. All are, I think, effective ways at remembering what happened during that visit.
So to go with what you were talking about here, palliative care, end-of-life issues, people who are very sick sometimes, people may be in that hospital room, the doctor's bustling in and out. How can family members make sure that the patient is getting what they need when that patient is no longer able really to speak for themselves anymore?
Well, this is another great point. So I just very recently was given a grant, a career development award from a group called the Cambia Foundation. And the part of my study is asking that very question, actually. So how do we best interact with people who are facing a serious illness? They may or may not be able to participate fully in that discussion. How do we make sure that they are getting the information that they need to make good decisions that are in line with their preferences? And you know, there are ways. I think some of them are very similar. Having a good advocate with you, making sure that you're taking notes, keeping track of just what are the pressing issues for you so that you don't miss an opportunity. Particularly in the hospital, it can be difficult or even impossible to predict exactly when it is that a team's going to be coming, that a doctor will be coming to the room. Let me say, I don't think people advocate for themselves enough to say, my family's going to be here between 3 and 5 o'clock. Would it be possible for the doctor to come during that window? The answer is almost always yes, but we need to know that. So again, advocating for yourself is fine, is a good idea. It's your time. It's your body. We should hear from you.
I wonder about, since we're focusing on communication, what about situations where we've got somebody who, you know, English isn't their first language, say, how can they make sure they have a translator there if need be to make sure that you're getting past that communication barrier in a doctor's office?
Yeah, any barrier that you put. So whether someone's mind is fuzzy, you mentioned the case of someone who's confused earlier, or whether there's a language barrier or any number of barriers that get in the way of the communication, I think just increases the level of difficulty and increases the necessity to be honest, be open, and be clear on just what the most pressing issues are. I think where we really start to fall apart in those encounters in particular is when we get distracted by some side story that perhaps isn't relevant. And I think when patients and families have prepared and they know what the issues are that are important to them, you're less likely to get taken off task. And to be honest, sometimes it's certainly the doctors that may take us off task, you know, and end up, you know, we end up talking about your last vacation, which is a pleasant conversation, but perhaps not the best use of your time. And, you know, cultural differences and language differences are an important thing and certainly something that doctors need to think about. I don't think there are any easy answers for that one, to be honest. It's something that all of us need to pay attention to because it certainly increases the difficulty.
You've given us some examples of things that patients can say to doctors that will make it known that they really need their voices heard. They can say, I don't feel I'm communicating with you. You know, let's really zero in on this. Some other examples. You worded them more eloquently than I did. But are there things that we should know that might rub a doctor the wrong way, a way that to communicate that's almost always ineffective?
Sure. You know, I had the benefit of knowing that I was coming on the radio, so I could think about what questions and how I wanted to phrase them, so they weren't just random. I think what is challenging for a doctor, and perhaps it might be insightful to, you know, step inside the doctor's shoes for a moment. It is a busy day. There are some real time constraints. We want to be on time. We're often not on time. individuals are scheduled during these blocks of time and they're all the same blocks, but someone may need more time than that. It might 15 minutes or 30 minutes or 40 minutes or whatever the time allotted may not be the right time for that person. Someone else may only need 5, but on any given day, you can't really budget how these things are going to work. So I suppose what's challenging for me is things that important issues that come up at the very end of the visit. You know, it was important to you, but perhaps it's a sensitive subject. You know, it's something that was uncomfortable to talk about. And so, you know, it took a little while to warm up and to get there. And it comes out right at the end. I know it's important. You know it's important. And we both realize that we don't have the appropriate amount of time to deal with it. And then maybe we end up having to delay things until a subsequent visit, which is dissatisfying for both of us. So I think leading with that honest and open and understanding what it is that's important to you to talk about helps to alleviate the biggest frustration, which I think we have, which is big things coming up right at the end.
And just briefly, it's the digital age. Is it ever helpful to do a little pre-email like, hey, here are the things I want to make sure we hit in the limited time we have? Or is that something that doctors don't have the time to look at in the first place?
That's a really great question. I think every doctor has probably different ways in which they prefer to communicate, but increasingly electronic communication is a part of the routine. I personally kind of like to have a heads up about some of the big issues that are coming up. Now there are ways of communicating through the electronic medical record, which you can be more assured are secure. So I think if you've spent the time preparing for the visit, it's okay with me if I'm in on the agenda.
All right, Dr. Campbell, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. You're welcome.
That's Dr. Toby Campbell. He's an assistant professor of medicine and a palliative care expert in the UW Carbone Cancer Center.